If you would like to turn your Bibles to Psalm number 40, that's where we shall begin as we consider what I've titled today, The Sweetest Song. So that is the title of this teaching today, The Sweetest Song, and we'll look a little bit in God's Word and see just what that's talking about. The Psalms were all sung, or intended to be sung. They're all songs, and actually, if you think about it, the English word psalm sounds very similar to the word song because it's translated from the Hebrew. And here in chapter 40, in verse 1, we read, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. This, of course, is a messianic psalm, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, this part of it. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. And of course, the word of God is his will. And the word song there in the Hebrew is the word shira, which I have pronounced shira because that's the way it's spelled, S-H-I-Y-R-A-H, shira. In fact, I named one of our dogs Shira many years ago. And the word Shira means most beautiful song, is what it means. And this passage here that we just read is talking about that new song. And you can see here that it's most definitely associated with deliverance. And you'll find that throughout the word, whenever there are these songs that are sung unto God, they're always right around the category of one type of deliverance or another. Let me ask you, how did you feel when you first knew that you were saved? When you knew that your sins were remitted and that you had eternal life to look forward to, that God had forgiven you of all your past sins, shortcomings, and frailties? Didn't you feel wonderful? Didn't you feel like singing, clicking your heels, dancing and singing? Of course, everybody does. And perhaps for us, the sweetest song is when we first got saved and realized it, recognized it. You might have been saved before you realized it, but at one point in your life, that sunk in. And when it did sink in, boy, what a tremendous feeling that is. How sweet that is. And how wonderful a song that declares that kind of salvation and deliverance is. Yet the world continues to work at eroding that from us, so that we no longer think of that, but we're distracted to think of other things. These other things cannot in any way, shape, or form match up to God's salvation for us, which has been purchased by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever else happens in life, the one thing that you know, you've been saved if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you have salvation. And that salvation, that wholeness, will be realized in totality when our Lord and Savior returns. What a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous truth that is. In Isaiah chapter 11, if you'll go there, one book to the right, verse 1, Kingdom of Peace. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Again, this is a messianic psalm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the time it was written and the time that God gave this revelation, this was future, but now we look back at this in retrospect, realizing that that branch did come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Isn't that like men, though? That's what men do. They judge by what they see. They reprove by what they hear. But he'll do this with righteousness. Shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity? Equity is a fair balance. Everybody gets the same shake. For the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Again, this is future now. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now, that's not today, is it? Put a lamb with a wolf, and the wolf will have lamb chops. And the shepherd shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion. Again, you're not going to put a lion with a calf. And the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This is all future. And the cow and the bear shall feed. We've had some bears here, right here in this valley, that have taken away livestock. There was a brown bear down by Point McKenzie at one time, a number of years ago, about a decade or so ago, was taking the farmers' horses and stuff. So that's not today yet, is it? Something yet future. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy. Those different things we just read about would be poisonous. In all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Again, the earth is not full today of the knowledge of the Lord, but there is a day coming when it will be. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble for the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them, all these unbelievers. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with a mighty hand, a mighty wind, shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it with seven streams, and men make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make his mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. In that day, well, what day? That future day when the Lord returns. And that's just a glimpse of some of the wrongs that shall be made right. And that's cause for singing. That's cause for a sweet, sweet, sweet song. In fact, look in Revelation, where we see another record. Again, future, but along the same lines. It's another new song, perhaps the sweetest of all. I saw in the right hand, Revelation 5, verse 1, of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Revelation chapter 5, verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And of course, the record continues. A new song, yet another new song, perhaps the sweetest of all in that day, when all the crooked ways are made straight, when the darkening is made plain, when all the wrongs are righted, when justice prevails, when the Lord God Almighty reigns, when a new heaven and a new earth is ultimately set in place. In the interim, there is always a reason to sing for the deliverances that God has wrought, primarily for those of us today, because he has wrought within us the new birth. Because of the fact, or I should say the truth, that we've been saved, we have every reason to sing and be merry, make merriment in our hearts, because we have that deliverance. And yet, in the daily routine of life, the world would eat that away, would erode that, so that we no longer think of that, when yet that should be primary in our thought and our focus, and then also with a forward look to the return of our Master, when he does return, and the sweetest song of all can be sung. So many of these songs are found throughout the Scripture in Exodus chapter 14. God divided the waters, the Red Sea, after the children of Israel had been released from the bondage and servitude of Egypt. They were facing the Red Sea, and behind them was the Egyptian army, for Pharaoh had changed his mind about letting them go. But God told Moses what to do, and when Moses did as God told him, the waters divided, the children of Israel walked over on dry land. When the Egyptians essayed to do so, they were drowned. Verse 31, and Israel, Exodus 14, 31, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then, chapter 15, you see that word then. It's a time continuum, a word that represents time. Then, at that time, now you see chapter 15 is sort of misplaced because it breaks up the continuity of the thought. So just ignore it for the time. Consider it a reference to find your place. But here in verse 1 of chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And of course it goes on. And then Miriam sings a song. And so this song, these sweet songs were sung because of the deliverance that was wrought. And deliverance, people, always brings with it a sweet, sweet song. In Psalm 33, if you go back to the book of Psalms, the 33rd Psalm. The 33rd Psalm is the first of seven occurrences of new songs, of new shiras. Seven. Seven, of course, is the spiritual number for spiritual perfection. God does not use numbers in his word haphazardly. He has a specific reason for the use of numbers and what they signify, and the number seven always signifies spiritual perfection. The first of these new songs, these new shiras, was in Psalm 40, verse 3, which we previously read and, in fact, started with. This is the first of seven. The second one actually would be that Psalm 40, verse 3. So here in Psalm 33, verse 1, we read, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely, it's appropriate, it adorns the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Seven new songs. Let's just read the rest of this context here. Verse 5, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. But you know, you can spend all your days looking at all the negative things in the world, but the earth is still full of his goodness. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That's how powerful his word is. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. No matter what the unbelievers, the evil of the world are doing, God will make their devices of none effect. He will bring their counsel to naught. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Well, there you have a great example of what it should be. A nation whose God is the Lord is a blessed nation. It would stand to reason, therefore, that a nation whose God is not the Lord, and of course Lord there would be Yahweh, the one true God, the nation whose God is not Yahweh would not be blessed. And only the people that he hath chosen for his inheritance. And this truly is a reason to sing that sweet, sweet song of deliverance. Look in Psalm 96 for the third usage of this Hebrew word, shira. Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Singing is always a direct result of salvation. Always. And if we've been saved, then we should sing. We should be singing in our hearts. We have a reason to make melody in our hearts. You know, if you listen to the radio, many of the songs that you hear on the radio are, not all of them, but whenever they become ballads, you know, where love is involved, it's always broken, heartbroken, miserable, losses, and so forth. If it isn't that, then it's some kind of an exhortation to lose control. That's the majority of the music, secular music, that you hear. There is a reason to sing and make melody. You've been delivered. Maybe you need other deliverances, smaller dosages of deliverance as time goes by. And no matter how big a deliverance you experience in life, even if you've faced a grave medical crisis or something, that deliverance pales when compared to the deliverance of salvation. Because, you know, no matter what you've been delivered from in the physical realm, the material realm, even if you've had a heart transplant, something as intense as that, I mean, still the day will come when you will die. And without the salvation that's in Christ Jesus, then there's nothing. And yet we have that. What a sweet, sweet song. When the Lord returns, how sweet will that song be? In verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. The fourth use is found in the 98th Psalm, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the what? The victory. So again, we see that this sweet song, this new song, has to do with deliverance, salvation, and victory. Verse 2, just to get the context, the Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with harp, with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and a sound of cornets, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. And again, that's future. The fifth usage, Psalm 144. Fifth usage of this new song, this new Shira. 144. Psalm 144. And in the ninth verse, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. So there you have again a new song, a new Shira. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid up and deliver me. Again, you can see it has to do with deliverance and salvation and victory. The hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, because the right hand represents the hand of blessing. whereas the left hand represents the hand of cursing. And so here, these who are not the true believers, their right hand is a hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, and our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our street, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is Yahweh, the Lord. In the sixth usage, Psalm 149, second to the last psalm, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Again, we see that it has to do with deliverance, salvation, and victory. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishment upon the people, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. And the seventh usage of this new song is found in Isaiah. A couple of books to your right, in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk thereon. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Again, so this is future, this is messianic, this is talking about the new heaven and the new earth, which is yet future. And again, of course, this is the sweetest of all songs. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. The isles and the inhabitants thereof. A new song, new, the Hebrew meaning unheard of before. All seven of these are songs of deliverance, love, and victory, and all include exhortations to praise God for his deliverance, for the victory that he's wrought in our lives, for the salvation that is in his word and in his son, and for all the different things that he has wrought for men over the ages and will, as he promises, bring to pass in the future. For the context, let's read the 11th and 12th verse. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. You know, there's a verse of scripture where it talks about the hills, the mountains, and the trees coming forth and singing praises and clapping. Of course, that's figurative But it's all part of these great, sweet, sweet songs of victory. When people aren't delivered, when people are held back, when people are depressed, oppressed, and destroyed, you don't hear them singing. And if they do sing, they're woeful songs. These songs are sweet songs of victory. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you go there with me. So you have seven occurrences of this word, this combination of words, new song, seven of them. Never heard before, unheard of to that point in time until it was sung. Seven Shiras, seven of them, seven being the number that God utilizes to acknowledge spiritual perfection. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Of course, this is not talking about actually being dead, but it's talking about being asleep. And there are so many of God's people who are asleep. They're not aware of their surroundings. They're unaware of what the Word of God has to say. They're so caught up in their lives and what they don't have that they can't see what they do have. And they're asleep. They're slumber. They're tired. Their eyes are dim. Their eyes are closed. The exhortation here is awake. Wake up. Don't be sleeping. Wake up. Now you hold your place there. Just go to the beginning of this Ephesians epistle. And we read in the beginning, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this entire epistle, it's not written to unbelievers. It's written to people who are Christian. In fact, faithful in Christ Jesus is in reference to service. Faithful in service. And the exhortation here is, wake up! So many people are asleep, spiritually asleep, that they have no clue. And the adversary uses them at every turn and every opportunity. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. You know, if you're sleeping, you might as well be dead. And Christ shall give thee light. How much light do you see when you sleep? None, right? If there's too much light, you can't sleep. That's why God gave you eyelids, so you can close them, shut out the light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Again, we're talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Walk circumspectly. To walk circumspectly means pay attention where you put your foot. It's used, the words here that are used in the Greek are used like to explain how a mountain climber would put his feet when climbing a mountain. When a mountain climber is climbing a mountain or a rock climber is scaling a wall, they are very circumspect, very careful about where they put their feet. A foothold and a handhold is very important. Because you put your foot in the wrong place and it slips, and then you're going to get the ground to come up too fast, a lot faster than you had anticipated. In other words, you'll fall. If you don't walk circumspectly, you'll fall. Well, Christians need to wake up and walk circumspectly. There's only one way to walk circumspectly, and that's to walk upon God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, you cannot walk upon it. If you're so caught up in the world that you're sleeping, that you're tired, spiritually speaking, your eyes are shut, you can't see, your ears are shut, you can't hear because you're sleeping spiritually, well, you're not going to watch where you're putting your feet because you don't have any light. It's dark. and you walk in the darkness, you wind up stubbing your toe at the very least. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. A fool is a person who has a careless habit of mind and body. So we're talking about Christians, we're talking about faithful in Christ Jesus who have careless habits in their lives regarding this word of God. Now that encompasses an awful lot of people. A wise person is a person who knows exactly when and how to apply what kind of knowledge in what kind of situation. That's what wisdom is. When you have knowledge, that's one thing. But in order to take that knowledge and use it properly, you would have to be wise. You'd have to have wisdom. You'd have to know when, where, and how to properly apply that knowledge. A fool doesn't do that. A fool has careless habits. Doesn't matter that much. The word doesn't matter that much. They think, well, I've been saved, so it doesn't matter that much. I'm good to go. It does matter. Every minute of every day, it matters. See that you walk circumspectly, accurately, not as a fool, but as a wise individual. Redeeming the time. That means buying it back. When you redeem something, you buy it back. Because the days are evil. The days are evil, and they're getting more and more evil every day. We need to buy the time back. You don't know how much time you have in life. Nobody knows. You don't know how long you'll live. You don't know when the Lord will return. You don't know when it's over. You have no ideas. That's why we want to buy the time, redeem the time. People waste time. People are always worried about how much they make. Well, everybody makes the same thing because everybody gets 24 hours a day. What you do with that 24 hours, how you live that 24 hours, that will determine what kind of a life you have. If you take that 24 hours and just sit on your butt and don't do anything with it, then you can't expect much to happen. It's like a wise man said years ago, you want a nice garden? Bend your back and dig. You want a life that's blessed? Make sure that you're awake and you're walking on this word of God as a wise person, not as a fool, that you buy that time back because the days are precious. The days are precious. People have to decide what's important in life. Apparently, some people think there's many things that are more important than the Word of God. That's evident to me. It's been evident to me for years. There's nothing more important than the Word of God because I cannot walk circumspectly. I cannot walk in a manner that pleases God without this Word of God. If I am ignorant of this Word of God, then how can I have any knowledge to apply? Therefore, I would not be wise, and the odds are that I would become foolish because I would have a careless habit of my life, lifestyle, body, and mind. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. To understand the will of God, you must have God's word. If you have God's word, you get a knowledge of God's word. With a knowledge of God's word, you can then apply that word of God when and where it is appropriate to do so. And in doing so, that would be wisdom. And once you have applied that word of God, then you will understand what the will of the Lord is. Then and only then. People don't understand it because they don't apply it. You want to understand it? Open up your mind. Open up your heart to God. Ask Him to help you. And then apply that word of God. Don't wonder, well, why should I do this? Just do it. Whatever the word says, just do it to the best of your ability. Don't argue with it. Don't throw a but in there. Well, you know, I do this, but. Well, there are no buts in God's word that have to do with not doing His word. So just do the word, whatever that aspect is, no matter how much you know. If you know one verse, we'll do one verse. And if you do that one verse, whatever it says to do, where action is required, you will get understanding. And, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, you know, wine is one way that people can be drunk, inebriated. You can be drunk on a whole lot of different things. It doesn't have to be alcohol. People get drunk on different kinds of drugs. People get drunk on power. People get drunk on, you know, their unbelief. People get drunk on all sorts of things. And there's no drunkenness that's any worse than spiritual drunkenness. Spiritual drunkenness is the worst kind. And let me tell you, if you let yourself get drunk on different substances, then the next place you find yourself is spiritually drunk. Because once you've inebriated your mind, then your mind, which is the meeting place for you and the Father, your mind is no longer a suitable place to meet the Father. Think of the heart of your mind as your living room. And you sit down in your living room to meet with the Father, to meet with God. If the Father were to come to your home and sit down in your living room, wouldn't you at least vacuum? Wouldn't you at least pick up? Or would you leave it an unholy mess and just sit down and look something like a hoarder's den? Well, that's what people's minds look like. That is the place to meet God. So imagine the Christian who allows him or herself to become inebriated. Imagine what that meeting place becomes. It becomes a place where there is no meeting. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's that sweet, sweet, sweet song that takes place in your heart of hearts. And you see, it's three times here. Psalm is a song. A hymn is a song. And a spiritual song is definitely a song. So you have three times. It's a triple positive, three times that the word or the concept of singing and song is right here in one verse to yourself. You ever do that quietly in your heart? Sing to yourself? Well, you're singing to God because your heart is where you meet with God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Four times. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Get the picture? He wants us to be joyful in our hearts, singing a new song, singing that sweet, sweet song, that sweet Shira, one that's not been heard before. How many songs will you have in your life to sing to the Father? How many psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? How many times will you sing in your heart and make melody to Him? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be thankful is something that we are all responsible for. And when you are thankful, you will be singing a sweet song. If you are mindful of all that God has done for you, if you are mindful of how He has delivered you from the greatest of all perils, that of being unsaved, dead in sin and trespass, having been delivered from that, having been received the greatest, the recipient of the greatest of all deliverances, that sweet, sweet song. And how many smaller and less significant deliverances have you experienced in your life? Each one of them is worth a song that's not been heard before. And perhaps the greatest of all the sweet, sweet Shiras that will ever be sung will be when the Lord Himself returns and we meet Him in the air and we see Him face to face and we know even as we are known and we are fashioned with bodies like unto His glorious body and we are with our Lord forevermore. That is the sweet song, the Shira, the song of songs.